I want to welcome all of our campuses that are joining with us today. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor at Love and Truth Church, and we're glad you're joining with us. North Campus, would you help me welcome all of our campuses that are joining with us today at every location? We are glad that you are with us, and we're excited about today and what God's going to do. Now, we're going to make our confession together, and so would you take your Bible? If you've got a Bible today, and we've been doing this since the first of the year, it's going to come up on the screen, and would you say this with me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You believe that today? We believe we will never be the same as we go into the Word of the Lord. If you want to today, take your Bibles, go to the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel is where we're going to be today. In fact, it's where we've been this entire setting as we've been looking at the aspect of potential, of saying yes to your future. And that's what we've been talking about over the past several weeks. We're going to continue that today. In fact, today I kind of want to wrap it all up and kind of put a bow on it today to help us to get to that place where that each and every one of us are living up to our potential. In 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, I'm not going to read it today. I'm just going to kind of share it with you. Now, the 16th chapter is where God speaks to Samuel, and he says, I have turned my back on Saul, who is the king of Israel, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to a man named Jesse's house, and I want you to anoint the new king. The Bible says when the prophet Samuel got there, that Jesse brings his boys before him, and the first one is Eliab, the oldest. He's a good-looking warrior. He is the one, you think, and even Samuel says, this must be God's anointed, but the Spirit of the Lord spoke to Samuel and said, I know this is not the one. In fact, he said, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks where? On the heart, right? And so they go through this process, and they bring all the boys by, and again, the King James Version says, again they brought them by, and Samuel finally looks at him and says, don't you have any more sons? And he said, oh yeah, I got one, and he's out there taking care of the sheep. And Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. Now, today I'm going to be talking to us about finding my potential. That in each and every one of our lives, I'm kind of going to give you a process today of how you go through that. Because in this moment, David is anointed to be king. But how many of you know, just because you've had hands laid on you, or just because somebody said you've got potential, there's going to still be a process in your life before you find yourself living up to what you want and what God wants out of your life. Now, here's what I want to say to you today. Even if you're not a believer today, God wants good things for you. Amen. He wants good things for each and every one of us in our lives. And so I'm going to go into the 17th and 18th chapter today as we look at how that we come to that place of getting ourselves, maybe some steps, if you want to call it that, or the process, how that you and I find ourselves living up to our potential. Would you look in the 17th chapter, verse 36 and 37 is where we're going to begin today. Verse 36 says, this, your servant, this is again David talking to Saul when he goes to fight Goliath, your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has denied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. Now, here's the number one thing I think in all of our lives that we've got to have. Here it is. You ready? You've got to have confidence in yourself and in your God if you're going to reach your potential. Right? Have you ever been around somebody who did something really well? Maybe, you know, one of the things in church we talk about, somebody sings really well. Now, how many of you know sometimes you've heard some of those people sing and you were praying for the rapture? Right? That's coming. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, right? But there are other times people sing really well, and you try to pay them a compliment. You say, man, I really enjoyed that day. You really did a great job. Oh, it was nothing. And no, wait a minute. Let me talk to you just a minute. There's a difference in humility and not being willing to receive the praise for what God has done through us. And so if I'm really going to achieve what it is that God's called me to do, listen, the Bible says that God has made you in His image and in His likeness. What was it? Ethel Waters used to always say, God don't make no junk. Right? And so God has made us in His image and in His likeness. And so it's not that we need to, we need to live in humility, but we've got to have confidence that God has placed something into our life. So I've got to have confidence in God. You say, well, how do I have confidence in myself? Here's how you have confidence in yourself. The same way David did, you remember your past victories. Right? What does he say? He starts reciting. Here's what happened. God enabled me to slay the lion. He enabled me to slay the bear. And so he is going back in that point of his life. In fact, the Bible says that another time in David's life, years later, that when his own army turned against him and was ready to kill him, the scripture says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. See, there are those moments that you have to remember what it is that God has done in your life. Let me say it this way. Yesterday has made you ready. No, you need to hear that. Yesterday, the lessons, the trials, the tribulation, the temptation, all of those things that you have gone through, it has made you ready for what God is doing in your life and in your world right now. And so we have to come to that place of saying, you know what? I am going to live my life with confidence, not only in myself, and that's the difference that a Christian has, but I am going to have confidence in God Almighty as well, because if He is for me, the Bible says, who can be what? Against me, right? Look in the 28th verse. We're going to back up a little bit. Verse 28, and because I'm going to try to show you some things that some of us need to learn today. It says, when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here, and with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? Notice the condescension. I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Listen to David. You ever talk to your older brother? What did he say? He says, now what have I done? And I don't think he said, now what have I done? I think there's a little fire there, right? Now what have I done? Can't I even speak? Now you're going to tell me to be quiet? Now, this is where some of you need to learn. He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. Here's the second thing in the process of you reaching your potential and destiny. Don't allow small-minded people to lead you. Every one of us have people in our life who want to keep us down, because they're not willing to try, they're not willing to achieve, they're not willing to do what it is that God has destined them to do. And so what they want to do is they want to keep you in the same place. And so it's like Eliab here. Eliab ought to have been out there fighting Goliath. Eliab was a strong, mighty man of war. Eliab had been trained. He was a mighty warrior. And yet when David shows up, all he can do is say, well, who do you think you are? You're an arrogant so-and-so, and I'm just going to tell you what I think about you. Right? Anybody, don't raise your hand. Anybody of you have some people in your life that kind of, right? See, here's what you've got to come to. You've got to come to that place where you dare to be different. Amen? Don't try to be like anybody else. Don't try to act like anybody else. You know, I've had several people say something about my shoes this morning. Hallelujah. They're my shoes. My wife told me to buy them. And I found out, happy wife, happy life. Right? See, you. No, that wasn't why I wore them. You just, but maybe. You've got to dare to be different. Don't try to be like everybody else. Don't try to, make yourself like everybody. You've got to come to that place of understanding. Now, here's what I want to say to some of you, though. Some of you need to learn to choose your battles. Watch what he does. He answers his brother, but then the Bible says he turns away from him. Can I just help some of you? Some of you spend way too much time talking to people who are never going to change, who are never going to be different, who are always going to be negative. They're always going to tell you why it can't work and why it can't happen and why you can't do it. Instead of you trying to argue with them and convince them, just walk away. See, here's what I learned. I've learned through pastoring that you don't reward negative behavior. It took me years to learn that. Every time somebody would act up at church, I'd run, try to fix it. I'd run, try to make it better. And finally, I said, no. They get attention when I do that. And that's what they want. As John Maxwell says, the issue's never the issue. The issue's always control. See, we've got to come to that place of understanding that in all of our lives, that when we go through these kind of things, that there are some people you need to avoid. And there are just some other people you need to ignore. Just say, I've heard the wind blow before. Right? Come on. Why? Because there's greatness inside of you. There's destiny inside of you. There is something that you are the only one that is ever going to be able to do it because God made you unique. He made you special. Why should you allow somebody to keep you from reaching your destiny? And David just turns his back and says, I'm not listening to you. And he turned to somebody else and said, tell me again what's going to happen. Look in verse 38. It says, then Saul dressed David in his own tunic, put a coat of armor on him, a bronze helmet on him, on his head. David fastened on the sword over his tunic, tried walking around. He said, I can't do this because I'm not used to them. So he took them off, and then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Here's the third thing that you've got to do, all right? You've got to think outside the box. Hear me. You've got to think outside the box. Because here's what I know. Everybody has put you in a box. They have said, this is who you are, and this is what you're going to achieve, and you don't need to ever think it's going to be any better. Listen, parents, hear pastor for a minute. It's wonderful to have plans for your family. It's great to have dreams for your children. But you have to allow them to pursue what it is that they're called to do. And sometimes that's not going to fit with your box. Because your box may say, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do this, 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 this. And God may be saying to them, here's what I want you to do. See, here, you say, well, how do I think outside of the box? Well, first of all, you have to identify the issue. What's the issue that I'm looking at? And so, there's more than one way, to take care of things. There's more than one way to approach things. And so I've got to identify it, and then I have to determine a plan of action. How am I going to go about this? David said, here's the issue. I want to go fight Goliath. And they put all this armor on him, and he said, here's my plan of action. I can't wear this. I know everybody else in the army wears a uniform and wears armor, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go down by the brook. I'm going to get 5 smooth stones, and I'm going to kill him. See? And here's what we need to do. Once that you've come to that place, once you've identified the issue, and once you've determined your plan of action, then you need to boldly move toward your objective. You need to say, wait a minute, I am going to go forward. What is it? Boy, I want to help you today. See, we have a tendency to think that Christianity is only about going to heaven. And so we box God. Here we go, that box again. We put God in this box for Sunday morning, and if we're really spiritual, Wednesday night. All right? And then we live the rest of life, and we kind of fit him in when we need him. When things break, we call him. Instead of understanding that if we are a believer, that everything in life encompasses God. And so what I've got to do is that I've got to come to that place day in and day out that I am looking at what God has called me to do. And listen, God's called some of you to be successful business people. God's called some of you to be professionals and to be doctors and lawyers and teachers and what. God's called some of you to work for somebody else. God's called some of you to be great parents and great moms who stay at home, all those things. But once you identify that, then what you have to do is that you have to live out what God has called you to do. And you got to be bold about it. You can't be sitting back and saying, well, I hope everybody approves because let me help you. They won't, right? I mean, people, there are some of you who have chosen, some of you ladies have chosen to stay at home for a certain time to raise your children, and other people looking at you going, why don't you get a job? It's none of their business. Did you hear me? If you and your husband are in agreement about this, it's none of their business. Grandma, mother-in-law, daddy-in-law, I'm doing pretty good preaching, better than you're responding, that's for sure. I'm kidding. I'm messing with you. All right? And so we got to get, let's get outside the box. If you're called and you feel like you're supposed to be in business and you're supposed to be doing something, then you boldly move toward it. You go with it with all your heart. That's what David did. In fact, the Bible says that when David got those five smooth stones, the scripture said he ran toward the giant. He ran toward him. He went with everything within him. In my life, I have found that it is people who are not willing to settle for the status quo that really make a difference. I mean, look at the life of Jesus. Jesus didn't fit. Talk about being outside the box. Everything Jesus did, he messed it up. Understand what I'm saying? I mean, he's going to a funeral. He messes it up. He raises them from the dead. Everybody's crying. Oh, God, if you'd just been here 3 days ago. He said, what are you crying about? I can handle it. 3 days, 3 years, 300, I can handle it. Lazarus, come on, Bubba. Right? Jesus messed up religious people. I love religious people. Right? Jesus messed them up. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're always griping and complaining because Jesus didn't teach things right and he didn't make his disciples wash their hands right, and they hung out with prostitutes and sinners and wine bibbers. That's drunks for some of you. And they go, why is he hanging out with tax collectors? Well, I kind of wonder that one. But, you know, he's just messing it up. Why? Because he's not willing to allow somebody or some system to keep him from fulfilling the destiny that his Father had for his life. And I want to say to you, there is something, for every one of you watching today, there is something that God has for you that you are the only one who's going to be able to do it. Don't let anybody keep you in the box. Get out of the box and do what it is that God's called you to do with your life. It doesn't have to be like everybody else. It doesn't have to fit in to everybody else. You've got to be who God's called you to be. Let's keep on moving. Look in the 18th chapter, the first verse. Again, we're just zooming ahead because I don't have time. This could be a year-long series if I wasn't careful. Verse 1 says, after David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David, and he loved him as himself. Now, the next thing in this process of living up to your potential is that you need the right people in your life. You need the right people in your life. Now, let's set this up a little bit, because I've heard some, there's some strange teaching going on now that this was a relationship, and it was a relationship, but it wasn't any kind of wrong relationship. It's just a man who loves another man as a brother. It wasn't anything out of sort with that, and don't try to prove anything scripturally from that, because you can't. But what's happening here is that God is bringing into David's life a mentor. Now think about this for a minute. Who is Jonathan? Jonathan is the king's son. Got it? Jonathan has been trained his entire life to be the king. From the day he was born, everybody said, here's the next king. It's like Prince William in England. Everybody knows. This man, from the time he is born, he is being trained to be the king. Now, what's wonderful about Jonathan is that Jonathan is so in alignment with God that he understands that his father has fallen away from God and that he's not going to be the next king. And instead of him, boy, somebody needs to get this, instead of him becoming angry and bitter at God, he decides that what he will do is that he will help prepare the next king of Israel. Here's the deal. Everybody needs some different people in their life. You need people who are, and I say this in the right way, beneath you that you're pouring into. You need some people who are beside you, who walk with you, who I say, some of you have heard me say this before, you need some people who aren't impressed with you, right? You need some peers that just look at you and go, right? Just, I'm not impressed, shut up, let's go, all right? But you also have to have somebody who's ahead of you. If you want to be a better business person, don't go to the guy who keeps going bankrupt. Right? Find the guy, and he doesn't even have to be in the same industry, but find the gal who is successful and bug them. Go, hey, can I take you to lunch? Well, everybody's ready for a free lunch. It'll cost you something, but it'll be worth it. This is what's happening here, is that Jonathan is coming into relationship with David because he is going to teach David how to be the king. See, here's the kind of people you need in your life. You need the kind of people in your life that have the same values that you have. All right? You know, the Bible has some wonderful scripture, and one of them is, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, I know that's talking about in the sense of marriage and marrying somebody that doesn't believe in God. But let me just extrapolate that out for a minute. Don't be unequally yoked together with somebody who doesn't believe in what you're going to do. Right? Get somebody that has the same values. Get somebody that's loyal to you. Now, loyalty doesn't mean that they don't point out when you're wrong, but loyalty means that they're there in the good times as well as when times aren't so good. And we all need those kind of people, right? And get somebody, listen, don't get that person who, when they walk in, the lights go out. You know what I'm talking about? You know the person who you could hand them a gold brick and they'd complain about the weight of it? Don't, you don't need that person. Get somebody that's encouraging. You know, the Bible says Barnabas in Scripture came alongside of a man named Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, but the name Barnabas means the son of encouragement. If it had not been for Barnabas, we very likely would not have had 2/3 of the New Testament, because all the other apostles were going, "Woo, that guy's rough. Something's wrong with him. He's been killing people. We don't want anything to do with him." And Barnabas comes alongside of him, and the Bible says he encourages Saul in the Lord, and Saul has a radical transformation because somebody was in his corner. Listen, I don't know about you, but there are days that I need somebody in my corner. I need somebody who's encouraging me. I need somebody who's coming alongside of me saying, "You can do it. I believe in you." Listen to me, wives. Let me help you for a minute. Don't always tell your husband where he messed up. Oh, help me, Jesus. one of the greatest things your husband needs is affirmation. He knows when he screwed up, pardon my English. He knows when he's royally messed it up. See, I told you. Hallelujah. I love doing marriage counseling to thousands of people at a time. Encourage. Well, he didn't always do it right. Of course he doesn't, but do you? Right? Men need that more than women need. Now, I'm not saying men don't, you don't need to encourage your wives. You do, but I'm saying there's something. Am I giving man secrets away again? Y'all got really quiet. All right? I get in the car. Sherry, when we used to ride together, we don't ride together anymore. To and from church. God comes early, and when I'm done, I want to go home, and she wants to go eat or whatever. And so, but I'd get in, you know, sometimes you preach, and then sometimes you preach. So I get in the car, and I'd have one of those moments, and maybe it was one of those sermons that it felt like it went right here and dropped. And I get in the car, and I'd say, man, it was tough today. And if she goes, yeah, it kind of was rough, I went, oh, heck. It must have been bad. Those poor people, what did they have to put up with today? Right? But she can just say, well, you know, it wasn't as bad as you thought it was. Now, that leaves her wide open. She didn't say I did the great. She didn't say you're Billy Graham or Charles Stanley or TDJ. She just said you didn't do as bad as you think you did. Now I feel better. Right? Why? Because somebody encouraged me. And the one whose opinion, I just tell you, her opinion matters a whole lot more to me than any of the rest of you. Right? Outside of God, she's second. Right? And so we need those kind of people in our lives who encourage us in the Lord. Let me give you, look in verse 5. I got to bring all this together. Verse 5, whatever mission Saul sent him on, David was so successful that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. And this pleased all the troops and Saul's officers as well. Now, ready? In this process, always look for opportunities. You want to fulfill your potential? Are you looking for opportunities? Well, I'm just waiting for them to promote me. Well, let me ask you a question. When they offered training at your workplace, did you take it? Are you the last one in and the first one out? Are you the one who takes that 20-minute break and turns it into an hour break? I'm just talking to you. See, you've got to come to that place where you understand that You are going forward at the rate of looking for the opportunity. And I wonder how often we've missed our opportunity. You know, we talked in the very first of this whole series about we pray for a harvest and God sends a seed. So we've got to be paying attention. We've got to become the kind of people who are open to something different, something new. Saying, okay, here's God's got something different for me. And again, it's in every aspect of life, not just in the quote-unquote spiritual things. We need to be open to that as well, because the Bible says God takes you from glory to glory. I got that. But we've got to come to that place where we're open in our business, in our family, and whatever, and saying, you know what, maybe God wants to do something different in our lives. Now, let me show you this. Can you take a couple of more? Look in verse 10 and 11. If you can't, I'll see you next week. The next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully on Saul. He was prophesying in his house while David was playing the lyre, as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it, saying to himself, I'll pin David to the wall. In other words, I'll kill him. But David eluded him twice. All right? So are you ready? You've got to expect opposition. The old saying is, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it, right? So you've got to know, you've got to prepare for opposition. When you go into, I've learned through the years as a pastor that when I feel like God's calling us to do something different, or when we're going to move forward or whatever, that I need to get ready. That's why T.D. Jakes always says, get ready. Because we need to get ready. There's going to be some opposition. But you know what I've decided? Instead of focusing on the opposition, I'm going to live with eyes of faith. If God is for me, who can be against me? If God's on my side, the Bible says 1,000 will fall at my right hand, 10,000 at my left, but it shall not come nigh my dwelling. And so I'm going to live with these eyes of faith that says God's got a destiny, God's got wonderful things for me, and He is going to bring it to pass. Verse 12 and 13 there real quickly just says Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David, but he had departed from Saul. Isn't that interesting? It says, so Saul sends David away and gave him command over thousands of troops, and David led the troops in their campaign. All right? Now, here's the next to last one. You got to continue to grow. Continue to grow. All right, you start where you are. Remember where David was. David started out with a sling. Got it? But by this point in time, David has had to learn how to wear armor and carry a sword and a shield. Can I talk to you? There are a lot of us who the reason we're not fulfilling our potential is we're still locked in to what we used to be. Instead of saying, wait a minute, the slingshot worked well in that season of my life, but now I've got to learn how to wear armor, and I've got to learn how to command and lead people. You ever been around somebody 40 and they're still acting like they're 12? Don't punch anybody. You know what I'm talking about? You look at people and go, and they're still, you know, they get on Facebook and they put all their trash out there, like a 13-year-old schoolgirl, and it's a 40-year-old man. You know, are they react in situations like, you know, pitch little fits like a 2-year-old. And you go, what in the world? That's what some of us have done. Maybe not in that scenario, but what we've done is that we've locked ourselves into a slingshot when the Lord is calling us to lead thousands and to wear armor. See, I've got to be open to new challenges. I've got to be ready to move in to everything that God has for me. Let me close with this. Verse 14 says, in everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. Here's the last thing. Put this down, underline it, write all around it, highlight it. Know that your success is from the Lord. In every area of your life, know that your success is from the Lord. I'll even say this, even if you're not a believer, your success is because God gives you grace, because His love's on you. The book of Joshua, the first chapter, the 8th verse says this, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be, watch these next couple of words here, prosperous and successful. You want to know how to be prosperous and successful? The Word of God tells you how. Do what the Word of God says. Let it be part of your life and live that way. See, here's what I want to share with you. God is the only one who can give us true success. You say, well, I got money and I've got prestige and everybody in the city knows me and I live in the finest subdivision. Listen, all that stuff is wonderful. That doesn't mean you're successful. It's great to try to achieve things in this life, but I promise you, the way that you're going to know that you are really successful is when you're living from a place that you're centered with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God says that Jesus Christ came into this world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him would be saved. Jesus said in John 10:10, I am come that you would have life and you would have it more abundantly. That's what God wants for each and every one of us. And so those of you who are listening today, those of you who are here today, hear me carefully. Your journey to fulfilling your potential starts at the foot of an old rugged cross where you come to Jesus and you say, Lord, I give you my life. Take it and use it for your glory. Amen. Amen.